Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Tuesday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Rice and co-host Dr. Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is March 18th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, that puts you into queue to talk with us. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, because then you actively strengthen and deepen your process. So now, let's welcome Michael and Tim in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Well, do we have Dr. Rice on the line?
I thought we did because there's a Skype number, but maybe Jeannie unmuted it, so I'm not sure. Let me check in the chat room.
All right, well.
Well.
Hello.
Michael, are you there?
Well, this is Tim Hayes, and I'm here on behalf of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice. And we're here to talk about tools to improve your life, practical tools to improve the quality of your life. What would improve the quality of your life? How about removing anything from your mind and your body's energy system that would trigger the experience of anger, fear, sadness, hurt, guilt, shame, blame, condemnation? Personally, I think that would improve the quality of my life if I were able to remove everything that had the potential to stimulate those feelings in me. That would leave me with the more frequent conscious experience of my true nature as the energy of love, and that would improve the quality of my life. As a matter of fact, it has. It has improved the quality of my life dramatically over the past 10 years that I've been exposed to this material, and the more I use the tools, the more it improves. How do we do that? Well, we do that because, thanks to Dr. Rice and the tireless efforts of Dr. Rice and Jeannie, we have available on a website, www.whyagain.org, we have available a series of very real practical tools that I can print off and download and print off for free, that when I put the pen to the paper and actually put my thoughts into words in writing and follow the simple steps of the forgiveness process, I can literally remove the realities I've created, the false realities I've created, which end up generating hostility, fear, anger, sadness, and hurt in my life. And when I do that, I'm left with less of the garbage, or what the ancient scriptures used to call bushel baskets, that are hiding the light, hiding the truth of my experience from me, the truth of my nature, which is this energy of love. And Dr. Rice has a fairly recent, in his work, example, an operational definition for this energy of love we're talking about. And the operational definition is, if you hold a newborn child in the first few hours or days of life, if you think about the energy that gets resonated in you when you hold that child, if you think about the words that come to mind for you about the true nature of that newborn infant in all of its beauty and innocence and glory, and that's probably the closest you'll get to putting words on this energy of creation, this energy of love, which is clearly beyond the limitations of words. But that's the operational definition we have, the experiential definition. If you're trying to think about a behavior and decide whether or not you should do a behavior, the yardstick Michael suggests for measuring whether or not you should do that behavior is, would a newborn child do this? Would an infant do this? And if you can't imagine an infant doing it, if it's angry, sad, scared, bitter, hurtful, resentful, insulting to someone else or something else, if it's a negative knee-jerk reaction, then it probably isn't something that belongs in your energy field, much less in your behavior repertoire. So Michael has had access to the ancient Aramaic Kaburis manuscript, which is the oldest known copy of the New Testament. And if I remember correctly, it's something like a 6th century copy of a 2nd century Bible. And he's the head of an institute that's charged with translating it directly from the ancient Aramaic into English. And they've accomplished some of that work already. And what they accomplished, what they learned in this team approach to translating directly from the ancient Aramaic into English is that what they knew thousands of years ago about psychology and religion and science and the mind and body as an energy system far exceeds what our scientists know today. And what they knew about how we create our anger and our fear and our sadness and what we can do to undo the programming and the energy that we've created is contained in the tools Michael has created and put on the Internet site. So if you go to whiteagain.org and click on the red and white bullseye, it'll take you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Michael's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And you might ask, do I know anybody or have I ever been in a situation where I've asked, why is this negative pattern in a relationship happening to me again? Why is this angry, frustrating reaction in me happening again? Why am I having conflict in my work relationships? Why am I not able to get my finances in order again? Why am I not able to hold a loving space and energy toward the people that I live with again? Then that might be a book that you'd want to read, because this is a book about how we keep recreating our experience in life, and then we wonder, where did this come from? Michael says, we're probably the greatest injustice done to us as humans on this planet is we've been convinced that we are not creators. We have had hidden from us the fact that we are creators. And we are creators, among other things, of our experience of life in each moment. We are creating our own reality. In one previous version of Michael's worksheet, there was a line that said, the truth is, my reality is strictly internal, created by me, and is created by my own thoughts. It's unique to me and created by my own thoughts. So with that knowledge, is that Michael?
It was.
Say some more.
Good morning. I'll say some more. I think we finally made it, and I'm hoping that it's with a clear voice.
Well, it's a voice.
It's not clear.
We have some raspiness occasionally, and you're not very strong, not very loud.
Okay, well, then I'll give this one up. I thought I'd found there's another phone system that I thought we would be able to play through, but that's not working. So I'll tell you what, I'm just going to go downstairs. Jean's got Skype on, and she says it's pretty clear. So I'll come down and do Skype. I'll just hang this one out.
All right. And while you do that, I'll tell people that they can download Chapter 24 of your book, which describes the worksheet process, and they can also download the most recent version of the 7-step worksheet, and they can download 5 or 6 audio files that describe the audio files that are copies of this Internet show, where Michael and or Jeannie have worked with people who called in, real people with real problems, and stepped them through the reality management worksheet process, which some people call the forgiveness process, the forgiveness worksheet. And you can have right there for free download everything you would ever need to get started to learn these tools and with practice to become a master at applying the tool of forgiveness in your life. Forgiveness as an internal process, forgiveness that is all about removing energies that do not belong in your energy field, forgiveness from a perspective that understands no one has ever made you angry, sad, scared, hurt, or frustrated. No one's ever made you feel insulted. No one's ever made you feel shame or guilt. It's all an inside job, and it's a process our minds create using smoke and mirrors and hallucinations and the internal process of projection to create a reality in my mind that shows me a picture of life from the outside, creating my internal experience. And the observation is that's never happened. The observation is I can't feel anything that isn't coming from within my energy system. So there is a set of tools, and of course the reality management worksheet process is just one of a large number of worksheets that are available free on that website. We recommend that you go there and begin working with the reality management worksheet process first. As a matter of fact, we recommend that you download the worksheet, go to a different section of his website, whyagain.org, and order a video or two and start your own support group, so that you and a few friends can start learning this process together and create a more loving, a more joyful, a more vibrant experience of life as a group. Because I haven't heard this in a while, but Michael is very fond of this phrase. It's an African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And while you don't need anybody else to learn this worksheet process and apply it into your life because it's made available free off the Internet, you will probably go farther, and you will probably have a greater experience of love and support if you start a support group or go to an existing support group. And we have one that's been running in the Cary River Grove, Fox River Grove, Crystal Lake, and now currently Woodstock area for about 8 years. And I tell people it is the highlight of my week every Tuesday when I get to go up there and share with some of the most amazing people it's my pleasure to know at this time in my life the process of forgiveness and the process of opening our minds to deeper and deeper levels of the material that's held in Michael's, I think it's 15 different videos that we have, and learning how we are creating our own upset and supporting each other every week in dismantling that upset and restoring our awareness to our true nature as love. So that's what we're here to support in this group, or on this radio show, and we're hoping that anybody who has a support group and has questions about that process or has testimonials that they want to give, that you'll call in at 646-200-4169 and let us know what your questions or comments have. So,
or you can Skype in, which we are doing right now. How's that sound now, Tim?
Well, that's a far better signal for you.
Oh, good. Well, our apology for all the absences. We have gone every which way but loose. You know, for a week or so, we did the show from the sheriff in San Jose, Costa Rica, and then that
Well, that's perfect, because as soon as I put a piece of food in my mouth, you dropped out. So I don't know where you were before this, but you get about 2 months out now, and then you drop out.
Now?
Yes, now. Now was the only word I heard. And when you're on... I'm hearing my voice come back in an echo.
Okay, let's try clearly now.
I heard, okay, let's try.
Just not going to work. We've tried every which way but loose. I don't know. Jeannie got on a call with her parents this morning, and it was perfect for Skype, and now it's cutting in and out, I guess.
Well, I just heard that whole sentence.
Oh, well, maybe we can continue then.
Listen, just don't talk about continuing.
Okay.
You said, maybe we can continue then. Our... So,
go ahead, Jay.
So I don't... I'll put my lunch aside... And I'll keep talking, or I'll ask, since there's got to be somebody on a switchboard someplace, do we have somebody else with a hand up or a question from the chat room?
Not right now, but I'm thinking Michael needs to cancel his goal to...
get on the show. It's been canceled many times in the last week, for sure. So...
Yes. Because Jeannie's phone, hey?
Yes, we're on Skype on the computer. We've tried every which way we can.
There are moments of clarity for sure.
But then you drop out, Michael, so we're not getting a full thought.
Over. Okay. Well, then I guess I just need to stop talking again. And was maybe the weaker signal better? But
no, it had quite the crackle and was cutting out as well.
Okay, well, I'll try one other option I've got.
Okay, so try one other option because we didn't hear what you were saying after that, and we'll look forward to hearing you loud and clear soon, whether it's from Costa Rica or from Las Vegas. So,
well, Jim,
go ahead, Michelle.
If Michael's going to take a break here, Julie Haversick is put her hand up, and so why don't we just move into that?
Please, let's.
All right. Hey, Julie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Great. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Tim. I think it was last week I asked about Michael about the personal code and about, is the personal code have the worst behaviors in it? And he was talking about the power person. In The Laws for Living, you know, there's really a very benign statement about the personal code, meaning it's, unconscious set of rules that guide your behavior. However, you know, I've started to pursue it more. And in the DVD, Laws for Living, is powerful information about the personal code. I think if anybody took the Laws for Living class, they would want to look at that DVD. In fact, I think anybody would really want to visit that DVD. So I just wanted to put that on the radio. So since I was the one that prompted the question, I also feel that I found a solution with all the information that Michael puts on the Laws for Living DVD. So just wanted to put that out there for you guys.
Okay, so what did you? What's a key piece that you found from the DVD that you didn't get from the Laws of Living class?
Well, in the Laws of Living class, he deals with a variety of things. You know, it's not just the personal code. And in the Laws for Living, there's a like just a sentence to describe the personal code, and I'm sure there are some lessons that talk about the personal code, but it never resonated with me on the thought that everything is your personal code. You know, when you how you behave in the bathroom, in a public bathroom, is part of representation of your personal code. How you complete things in your life is a representation of your personal code. Now, before that, I kind of thought of it as something less than that. But now I realize when Michael describes it, he describes that there's a spiritual personal code, which is something that you can, you know, attune to if you do your work and clean up what isn't, what is less than love. But there's also the personal code that you have gotten through your environment, through the people that you've met, through your parents, through your genetics, et cetera, et cetera. And that personal code plays out all the time. And when I listened to the DVD, what happened for me is that when I was interacting with others, I was able to see that, oh, that's their personal code. I don't need to behave in a certain way. I just need to see that that's their personal code, and that's how they're doing their life, rather than being pulled into the game or the dynamic of playing it out with them. It was more like I could separate and say, oh, I have my personal code, and they have theirs. And if there's nobody really leading the ship, you know, meaning the higher source of energy, or I don't even like the word higher source of energy, the spiritual energy, then our personal code just plays out all the time. And, you know, it's such a powerful DVD because it can show you, and again, if you have the eyes to hear and the ears, eyes to see and the ears to hear, I think that you can catch on to what he's truly saying there, that that our personal code affects everything we touch and everything we see, hear, or interact with.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I'm glad you found that to give you that answer. And I suppose, because I've seen the Laws of Living video so many times, I thought that was clear. I thought that would be what was presented in the Laws of Living course. I haven't taken that yet. But, yeah, my understanding is much more like what you were just saying, that Michael says, you know, in several of his lectures, he says it different ways, but one thing he says is, have you ever done anything hurtful to somebody or against your own will and choice or angry or bitter or resentful or insulting? And most people raise their hand and say yes, and then he says, so, you know, why did you do that? And people come up with all these different reasons, and he says, well, I'll give you a different answer. I'll let you know that the reason you did what you did is because you held a reality in your mind that guided you to do that. And those realities we hold in our mind, out of all of the different intentions that we might have, if we elevate one to a goal, and if that intention wasn't coming through a filter of love, and if we've had it programmed into our mind from watching other adults and watching television shows, and we've had it programmed into our mind that this particular violent or insulting reality is a viable option, that becomes part of what drives our behavior, and we don't do anything outside of what we think is acceptable, which would be another way of saying we don't do anything outside of our personal code. So everything is a product of what the realities we're holding in our minds. And that's why he says it's so critically important, and why Yeshua said it was the first law to have Rachma set in the mind before you think of anybody, God, your neighbor, or yourself, in order to restore your true self, which is that energy of love, and certainly before you act. And if you have Rachma set in your mind, which is a filter in the frontal lobes of your mind over intention, it allows only intentions keyed to love to be used as the building blocks of your goals. And Michael is very clear about how this ancient knowledge lets us know we don't do anything, any behavior of any kind, without having a goal first. And if Rachma is set, then it allows only loving intentions to be used as the building blocks of my goals. I can only have a pool of loving intentions when Rachma is set. And then when I elevate one of those intentions to the level of a goal, I make a commitment to make that happen, my mind instantly goes to work showing me how to make that happen. And if it's coming from a loving space because Rachma is set, I can only do loving actions. But if I don't have Rachma set and have been inundated with negative impressions and realities throughout life, any one of a number of hostile or fearful intentions can be elevated to a goal, and now I do hostile or fearful behavior. Who else was trying to speak up there?
All right, Michael.
Well, that was Michael. I made it. Am I coming through now?
I heard, I made it, am I coming
through now? I'm learning a lot about technology and phone systems. Say it again, Tim.
We heard you. Keep going.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, I was going to say that, you know, you just did a perfect setup for the forgiveness process, and why cancel the goal? Because I can have a perfectly loving goal that's come through Rachma. That's the first law. It's not the only one, but it's the first law. And when I load that goal in my mind, if it happens to resonate, hostility or fear, that goal becomes the keyway into the hostile or fearful part of my mind where I can now heal. So I can have a wonderful, loving goal about, you know, what I'm going to say to somebody. And if that somebody has resonated my hostility or fear, and my goal links into that part of my mind that holds the hostility or fear, then my loving intention can turn into a hostile perception because I've lost the activity of a second filter called Kuba. And if I can stay committed enough to keep that Rachma and Kuba set, then if my hostility or fear resonates, then the simple act of that hostility or fear passing through those filters literally creates a shift and a change in the energy, a transmutation, as it were, and shifts my perception. If I'm not keeping those filters set, that's where it's so important to engage the forgiveness process, and the core of the forgiveness process, of course, being that I cancel my goal, so that when I cancel my goal, I collapse the part of my mind that holds the hostility or fear. I collapse the perception that comes from that and then have direct access to that hidden part of my mind, and that's when I get to heal. That's just, you know, just an awesome opportunity. And, you know, it took me 30 years to understand that that was the key to the process, but that's where it is. And it's, of course, so backward and so counterintuitive, but this is a wonderful goal and I deserve it. Absolutely. But if I load it in my mind and it brings hostility or fear, then what I want to do is clean up my hostility or fear in that arena first so that I can stay with my loving intentions, my loving goals, and my loving perceptions. Changes everything. Did we actually come through at a point now we've got this maybe handled so we can actually do this?
You're back. That was all loud and clear.
Oh, good. Thank you. Awesome.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to be back on the show. It's been an interesting time here with much running back and forth, going to and fro upon the earth, literally from location to location and phone system to phone system. So we're actually back to the original one we were using that seemed to have broken down, but now is working. So we're in Costa Rica. We finished our intensive on Saturday, got to do a little playtime with the participants, and now we're in a whole different part of the country. We're down in a town called Capos near Manuel Antonio, where we got to spend a day on the beach yesterday, and hot sun. It was up to close to 100 degrees here down on the lowlands on the beach level. Going up into the mountains is a little cooler, but which we're going to do tomorrow, or pardon me, on Thursday. We're going to get to see some of the highlands and get to look at, we haven't been to the property yet that we're investigating for a possible location for Heartland South. Our intensive was awesome. It was a very small group, our first one here in Costa Rica. We had about, I think, 9 or 10 people at the Why Is This Happening to Me Again portion of the workshop. So that workshop's always open, so several people came in to visit. And we did 9 days with 3 people and just hit some awesome depths, some really powerful detoxification and healing. It was just awesome. And 2 of the folks from the intensive are still with us. We're visiting down here in Capos, and we'll be here for a week before they go back. And then we'll be here for still another 4 or 5 days before we leave on the 28th and head to Las Vegas, where hopefully we'll have an easy, reliable phone service continuously. And Dr. Tim and Michelle, thank you for your support and keeping things moving while when we haven't been able to access things. I'm not sure the other day when the show cut out, I was at the Sheraton and I started the introduction and, oh, I probably went on for about 20 minutes before I found out I was cut off. I have no idea where I was cut off in that dialogue several days ago. The direction I was heading with that particular part of the dialogue was into a recognition that had come from the intensive about how pervasive the lie is in our culture. Did any of that come through the other day?
Well, some of it came through, and it was sounding as though you were quite triggered and upset, and that part of the message was, we really have to be vigilant, take responsibility, and not just assume that someone else is going to be the part of the reaching critical mass, that we have to, is that what you're talking about? We have to be vigilant about all the people that are out there that are still buying the lie and some of them actively working for greedy purposes, et cetera.
Yeah, the invitation from where I sat, it didn't feel triggered. It felt committed. It felt like wanting to inspire people to let go of their addiction to pleasures and self-centeredness and get on the team to assist in opening the space for something different to happen on the planet, because it's the pervasiveness of the simple game of projection is just so outrageous on the planet that it's costing us dearly, and our children and their children. And so the invitation is one of, you know, whatever you're about, take some of your time. You know, if you tithe, if you believe in tithing, and most people think about tithing as money, but I like to break down the acronym time, intelligence, money, and energy. You know, if you never give a penny, that's okay. If you do, that's okay too. But if you never give a penny, but you take your time, take 10% of your time and put it toward your spiritual work and sharing the tools with others, that's what's going to help to change the planet. Apply your own original intelligence to that process. You know, how can you best do it in your community? You know, we see Michelle and Rex going into the prison. We see Dr. Tim doing a support group and teaching it to the people he works with in his practice. What can you do with your original intelligence? And then, of course, energy, time intelligence, money and energy, the energy level. And, you know, sadly in the past, and that's one of the reasons why I don't very often put out a request for money, because the churches have become so focused on, you know, money, 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 money. It's turned into another greed game, sadly. I think in many cases it's genuine, but in many cases it's just, you know, show me the money. And so I hesitate to even open that discussion oftentimes. And, of course, that was something I really appreciated about Lady Jane, is that she would call in once a month religiously as she was getting her tithe ready, and she'd remind everybody to tithe and to support. So we certainly appreciate you, Jane, and we hold you so fondly in our memories, and I've had to do some work around missing seeing her face again since she passed. But just, you know, take that energy that you were given by the Creator and put some of it in the direction. You know, we look at what Mitzi did in her invitation to love. And if you go to Facebook and type in invitation to love, Mitzi's done an awesome video putting some scientific ideas together and putting forth this invitation for everybody to tap in and in one instant synchronize around the planet the presence of love. What a huge contribution.
Michael,
you look at, yes,
Michael,
sir.
Let me get this in right now while you're talking about it. To get in to that page on Facebook, type in the word event, E-V-E-N-T, space, invitation to love.
Ah, okay.
Otherwise you'll be searching forever. But it's an event page, E-V-E-N-T, invitation to love.
Cool. So we invite everybody to do that. And, you know, there's what Mitzi's done to put her energy and intelligence to work in. And so powerfully her intuition, if you missed the show last week where she talked about that, you might want to look it up on the archives. And she just had this very strong intuitive hit that there were enough people to create a critical mass of the presence of love on the planet. Part of her video she talks about and shows some of the research where they saw a spike of energy on, in particular, on a planetary scale, a spike of energy on the planet. And synchronizing it, it was when the first tower at 9/11 was hit by a plane, and then when either that tower or the second tower went down, were two measurable energetic spikes. And, you know, her intuition had told her that if we could create a spike of love, if we could get enough people synchronized, that there were sufficient people to reach that critical mass to make a shift. So, you know, you look at that video and she really put some awesome energy into it. You look at what Michelle and Rex are doing in the prison every week and the changes that are happening there. People who have killed and, you know, perhaps would just as soon kill each other are now having conversations about love and caring and taking and supporting each other and creating a different space within a very violent, vicious prison. You know, it's just awesome to watch how the original energy of each individual takes it and moves it forward. We had a gal, Rosa, at the intensive this week, and she's talking about starting, you know, as her contribution, she's going to start working on translation of Why Is This Happening to Me Again into Brazilian Portuguese. So it'll be available in not only Brazil, but also in Portugal, in Portuguese. And by the way, you can download the book in any one of half a dozen different languages, Farsi, German, Russian, Spanish. Unfortunately, the Swedish version is not available online yet. We're working to buy back the rights so that we can put it online. We had a publisher in Sweden that wouldn't allow us to do that because they were afraid they'd lose money. So, but what can you do? What's the possibility? What can your original intelligence do to help carry this forward? And the thing that had me motivated in that regard was doing some research on peace in the world, and that there are people who, you know, are doing statistical analysis of the level of peace, taking, you know, measurable signposts in countries around the world globally, and according to their signals, while there are a lot of people in the involved in this way of thinking that are, you know, oh, how wonderful, isn't everything moving forward so beautifully and everything's cool, but statistically it really isn't looking that way, that these folks had come up with that the world was literally 5% less peaceful than it was just last year with the number of outbreaks and things going on. And we hold the space that each of those things that's happening opens a space for healing, but somebody's got to bring that healing energy in and bring it forward. And that's why I was so motivated to put that invitation out to everybody to think about what you can do. What can you as an individual do? And, of course, one of the messages of the culture is, well, you're just one person. You can't do anything. And the truth is you can very powerfully. In fact, we were sitting with a young lady here who's Costa Rican, and she's, there's quite a bit of prostitution going on here, and sadly, people who are parents who are taking advantage of their daughters and such, and she's working in that community, and at one point in the conversation, somebody challenged her on being able to make a change, and this lady was just so clear, you know, I'm one individual, and I'm changing it, and she's doing locally what she can do to make those changes, working with these young girls. And, you know, it's just awesome to watch. And we invite everybody to look at what you can do to bring about a shift and bring about a change within your own family system, within yourself, within your community, within the school down the block or the church across town. What can you do? What part can you play? So that's an invitation. In the meantime, of course, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us, if you push 1, if you're in the phone queue, then we'll know that you want to talk. And Michelle, do we have anybody with a hand up, or is there anything happening in the chat room that we could be aware of?
There's nobody with a hand up right now, but Jeannie and a person are having quite a furious dialogue back and forth and lots of questions and answers. And so I could share some of that stuff if you like.
Please do. Yes, absolutely.
All right, let me get the message history because it starts back pretty far. It's from a person who was discussing their father. One of the parts she starts is talking about defensiveness and says, I have done a lot of work on my father and really don't get very triggered by anything about him anymore. But the idea that I was responsible in some way for things he did to me when I was young as 2 years old is hard to take.
We can take off from there. Let's just hold, go with that thought.
There's a lot more, but go on for now.
It was a great place. Yeah, great place to clarify. Remember that one of the things the average mind hears, you know, there's a workshop we do called Communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And oftentimes we speak a word, and because we live in a language of Babel, that word resonates different things for different people. The average person hears the word responsibility, and what they hear is blame, guilt, fault, bad, wrong, and, you know, the protest is, but I didn't do that. I am not to blame for that. And we invite you to notice that there's nothing in the word responsibility about guilt, fault, blame, bad, or wrong. Here's what responsibility is. Responsibility is a tool with which to recapture from your mind the part of you that is hidden that participates in what is created. In order for one, let's say, and it's so common, in fact, I would venture an estimate, and a lot of people might be, this might trigger or bring disturbance up for many people, I would venture that 60 to 70% of people in America today have been sexually abused in some way, shape, or form in their lives. 60 to 70% is the number I would put on it. And, you know, if a child, and I don't know if that's what this person's talking about, but let's just take that as an example. If a two-year-old is sexually abused by a parent, the two-year-old to blame in no way, shape, or form. However, is there an energy in them, i.e., if it was a parent, then genetically, the parent who's capable of sexual abuse has passed the genetic disturbance around sexual abuse onto the child. That child, as he or she grows, and I don't know whether this is male or female, but it doesn't matter, sexual abuse is an equal opportunity offender. And that child, if they never choose to be responsible for that disturbance in their genetics, the tendency will be to resonate into their space a lifelong pattern of being abused sexually. And so we're not in any way, shape, or form saying you are to blame for something your father did when you were two. We are saying that there's an energetic pattern in the family system and therefore in the genes that has now been passed to you that is now yours. If you keep it hidden, it will tend to gather energy and express on deeper and deeper levels, because the more you push it down, the more energy you put into it. If you can recapture, if you can take responsibility, and here to me is what the word responsibility means. It's a tool to recapture a hidden part of my mind, my genes, my emotions, that when exposed to love will change that frequency in me. Remember, we are energetic beings. So I'm looking to use responsibility to recapture the slightest energetic pattern that would hold me in that particular event, that particular why is this happening to me again event. And as I recapture that and expose it to love, I dissolve and delete it from my field. When I dissolve and delete it from my field, I'm not going to be passing it on to my children. And I'm going to open the energy window for the parent, the aunt, the uncle, whoever in the family system is expressing that particular energy. I'm opening the energy window for they to heal that same pattern. And as each person in the family system is able, if the parent who has done sexual abuse is willing to go there and to clean that up in themselves, then they open the energetic window for everybody in the bloodline to clear out that pattern. I remember several years ago we had a woman that was in South Florida, and I had called her because I had in my notes that she wanted to do an intensive. It was 3 days before we were getting ready to do an intensive at Heartland. And when I reached her, I shared that's why I was calling, and she said, well, I never said I wanted to do that intensive. It's like, oh, okay, excuse me, I apologize. I had it in my notes, so there was a mistake. And she called me back and said, you know, now that I hear your voice and remember the work we did here last year, she said, I realize I need to be at that intensive. And she had two children. She had been sexually abused by a babysitter. And she had two small children, which she had never allowed to go to a babysitter because of that. And she packed them up. This is on 3 days' notice. Got airplane tickets, packed them up, and brought them to Heartland with her, because she would not leave them with anyone. Her children were about a year and a half and 3 or 3.5 years of age. We were sitting in the intensive, and about day five of the intensive, there was a woman who was part of the intensive who, you know, kind of got brave enough and felt safe enough to say that she had something that she wanted to process and something she wanted to deal with and didn't know how to deal with it. And she shared with the group that she had every day of her life, she said she had never done anything with it, but every day of her life she fantasized about sexually abusing a child, molesting a child.
And this woman who brought her two children who had been molested by a babysitter just freaked out. I mean, she screamed just right there on the spot. And the two of them came together and dialogued about what had happened in their lives. And, of course, they dialogued in the presence of a whole room full of people holding a space of love. By the time that dialogue was over and these two women interacted and supported and brought healing to each other, the woman who had brought her two children felt safe sending her two children down to the lake with this woman alone, and did do that. And when she got home, felt safe enough to have a babysitter take care of her children. Her son, actually, who's now, I think he's about 21 or 22, actually teaches this work now, his first exposure to it. It's the younger child. He was about a year and a half. He's actually taken it in college and shared the worksheet with people. So it was just a major healing in that family. And the woman who brought forward her fantasy of molesting a child, I was in touch with her. I'm no longer in touch with her, but I was in touch with her for about 6 years after the intensive. And she had shared with me right up to that time, she said, "Michael, since that day, I have never had even the slightest thought of molesting a child." Totally, completely cleared that energy out of her structure. Because she was willing to take responsibility for a frequency that was in her and was willing to bring it to the presence of love. So if you've been abused, we're saying if you take responsibility, there's a frequency in you that you will access that will heal. There's no implication whatsoever that, quote unquote, the victim is to blame. It's just that it's a participatory frequency, energetic world. And when we access and clean up those energies within us, then we alleviate the whole system of the energetic implications of whatever that particular form of abuse is. So I hope that will be helpful to whoever it is in the chat room. Dr. Tim, you have any thoughts on that, to add to that, from what you've observed?
Well, just that I would agree wholeheartedly that we were talking about it yesterday, I did a little piece on how we're creating our experience in each moment. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm making something on the outside happen to me, but it's the energy, it's the experience I create inside of me in response to the outside event that's going to make all the difference in what I carry from there. And I agree with everything you said. It's
absolutely,
it's a very difficult topic. I deal with a lot of people who had severely abusive events happen, and there's been incest, and there's been sexual abuse and physical abuse, and it's in my office all too often, if you ask me. And I have to agree with you that the research indicates the numbers are in the 40 to 50% range, and if that's what they can predict based on what people are willing to talk about, we know it's probably a lot higher. And
yeah,
what we're
yeah.
about in this work is the tools that help me go inside myself and dismantle what's left in me after having been through one of those experiences. And I'm very grateful for the tools, because
exactly.
I've had some events in my life that I experienced as highly abusive. And with the application of the tools, I now have a very different experience of the memory of that event. I have a very different level of emotional response than I did before I applied the tools. It didn't change anything about the event that was in the past. But for decades after the event, I've carried around the effects of the negative reality that I, you know, downloaded into my system in my thoughts and beliefs and energies. And until I applied these tools, I didn't get the kind of relief that I had now experienced. I didn't get the kind of liberty to shift the focus of my awareness over to my true nature as love and create an experience in this moment that's more loving. And that's what I think is, that's all we're talking about here.
For sure. And, you know, just when you remember, when you hold a newborn child and you recognize we all came in the same way, how about if you just live your life as a newborn? How about if you just live, be present in your life, be the active presence of love? And if we're so caught up in what's stored in our bodies and our minds in the way of information, then that can be a difficult challenge. And that's, again, why to do the worksheet process, because each time you forgive, you weaken literally the frequencies that come out of this device called a body-mind unit. And there's an awesome line in the Course in Miracles that says two things. When you are healed, you are never healed alone, and millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do. You know, if you think of in terms of the world being a world of resonance, when we hold the energy of abuse in us, we are literally a radiating energy field that resonates or radiates that abuse. And whatever, whoever it touches, if there is the same frequency in them and they are unconscious, it adds energy to that. And when I choose to be the space where I can open that from within me, bring it forward and expose it to love, I literally change my energetic contribution to the world. A person who has all kinds of pain and trauma around an event in their lives and you know, lives their lives out of the pain and the depression and the rage and the guilt and the grief and the, you know, they're always in a complaint about it and always angry at everybody, you know, it's like, oh, you know, don't come near me and We are a walking energy field. And, you know, let's take that idea of sexual abuse. You know, we may be on one side of the planet, and there's somebody on the total opposite, I mean literally down under, literally in Australia, who has the potential to express, let's say, that same type of abuse. But it's such a minor influence in their lives that they'll never do it. But because there's nothing in the material world that can stop these energetic waves that leave us when we hold an energy, I might be the one in my pain and my complaint and my unwillingness to resolve and forgive. I might be the one that sets up the pattern that literally resonates in that person down in Australia, that potential, that energetic possibility of being an abuser, to the point where it's more than just a minute influence, but rather takes over the behavior and they become an abuser. I've refused to resolve my abuse. And most people are just energetic fields looping energy systems off of each other with no awareness of what drives them. You ask the average abuser, why did you do that? I don't know. I was just driven. I don't know. And oftentimes it's just these energetic loops that bounce back and forth between people that activate and resonate that behavior. When the Course in Miracles says when you are healed, you are never healed alone. If you are one who's been abused and you choose to clean up that sexual abuse, you're not the only one that's going to heal from that.
Open 1 minute,
energy
Michael.
Window. And anyone who is, sure. Anyone who is ever in your presence after that is going to have the opportunity to open and heal that which you've healed. Millions yet unborn will benefit from that. Be a benefit. Give the best gift you can possibly give. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow, and thanks for joining us. We're privileged to be with you. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.